You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I remember in elementary school, as a punishment for the entire class being too loud, the music teacher had us write the entire anthem. That included the second verse.
Oh my God.
That feels Jesus. Racist.
No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave.
Sounds like a Morrissey lyric.
Yeah.
I can just picture him singing that.
You can literally see that this country is built off of slavery through its national anthem.
Francis Scott Key, racist.
I went to Christian school and we had to pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Bible after the national anthem.
What's the Christian flag?
There's a Christian flag. It's white. It looks like it's white. Then on the top left corner, there's a navy blue square and then a red cross at the center of the navy blue square. That's a Christian flag.
Greece and Switzerland had a baby.
Wow. Yeah, there's a Christian flag.
I didn't know there was a Christian flag either. Fascinating. I'm learning a lot.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, I think.
Oh, my God. What a ripoff.
Somebody just made that up, huh?
No.
Someone just ripped that off of the regular Pledge of Allegiance. Same rhythms and everything.
Let me see.
The same melody? Come on now.
Remember. Hang on. Let me pull it up. Did I nail it? Do you have the lyrics, the Christian flag? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe.
Oh, wow. My God. How derivative.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Isn't this offensive to, America because you're changing the words of the American pledge?
Do you think the national anthem is litigious, like Marvin Gaye's estate?
Yes.
Because
I actually do.
They can come after the Christian flag anthem.
Whose estate owns the Pledge of Allegiance? Is it public domain?
It's public domain. There's a Bible pledge, though. That I don't remember. But if I see the lyrics, I could probably rattle it off.
I like that you're calling it lyrics.
Yeah, no, I remember it now that I see it. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. In my mind, I'm saying it as like a group of 11-year-olds. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. That was the cadence of that one.
And you said that at Christian school.
Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, Christian school. Yeah, I went to Christian school from kindergarten to 12. So, that's why it all comes back to me. Yeah.
Same school?
No. Went to Westwood Christian, which Anthony went to Westwood, which was a trip back then because it was very out of the 1950s. If my hair got too long, they would give me a note of what a haircut should look like. It was a pamphlet. Miss McCraney was there.
She had when I was there.
You were at Westwood too?
Yeah.
Get over to the mic. Let's go. Let's talk about Westwood Christian real quick.
Get over here.
Yeah, because Miss McCraney, she had a it was a lazy eye. She had a lazy eye, and she had a paddle hanging up in her office when I was there.
Like a frat paddle.
Yeah, with holes in it. Mm. That was used to...
for aerodynamic.
Yeah, so it wouldn't get wind whipped as it was making its way across the sky to meet your derriere. Yeah, she was an intimidating force as principal of Westwood Christian.
Mike, when were you there? What were your years?
I was there.
When did you do time?
I was there for... So Miss McCraney was my principal. What did I serve?
Yeah.
I had Miss McLaughlin.
What was your bid?
I had Miss McLaughlin kindergarten. I love Miss McLaughlin.
What year though? What year is that?
1990? Yeah, 1990. I had Miss McLaughlin. And first grade was kind of weird because I had a teacher that never showed up and she ended up being fired. And then Miss McCraney became my teacher and then Miss Purvis. But 3 months under Miss McCraney as your teacher will change a man. Then I had Miss Biddle, and Mrs. Athens was awesome.
Miss Athens, Athens,
she was great because her class, she would just show us slides of her African trip. So I was like, oh my God, this is great. Yeah, awesome. So, and then I left for Gladeview in fourth grade. And I went to Greater Miami Academy for like a cup of coffee. I ended up going back to Gladeview and then Florida Christians, where I closed out my Christian school experience.
Mike, if first grade teacher never showed up, did you ever find out why?
I think she just wanted to skip school a bunch. She complained about an ear infection, then her kid got sick, and she just was abusing days off, and it was very clear that she just got let go because she kept missing.
My first grade teacher, I remember, was very kind of erratic, kind of up and down emotionally. We just thought she was just like, you know, you're a kid. You said, my teacher's always flying off the handle. A couple of years later, died of an overdose.
Holy shit.
My first grade teacher was living the life.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
on hitting
I was
slopes.
The only one that you went to Christian school, but no one else here went to Christian school. Oh no, Billy went to Berlin.
I went to Catholic school.
I went to Catholic school.
Yeah,
but what getting back to Miss McCraney though, really quick, because when you said that, it triggered and unlocked a bunch of memories for me. So you're going to Westwood when I was born. So I would have gotten to Westwood around 2000, and so I did 04, 05, 06. So I did seventh, eighth, and ninth grade at Westwood.
I graduated high school in 04.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, Miss McCraney was still there at Westwood in 2004, 5, 6. And she wasn't as dominant a force as she was back in the early 90s, but she was still around. Enough so for me to know who she was and like understand the lineage of what had happened to people that came before me at Westwood. And it's almost like, Mike, you and I experienced something that I don't think people really understand. Like, you and I are part of like this secret tribe that like went through a lot of traumatic stress.
I want to go on the record. Miss McCraney never hit me.
I was never hit too.
No, she never hit me. But
it was
close. There was a paddle there. And I went to the office one time. She was scary as hell because it was the eye.
Yeah. The eye gets you. And she still had it, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Lazy.
What's wrong with her eye?
She had a lazy eye.
Just lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, So.
It might have been glass.
Might have been glass.
We don't know for sure.
It wasn't a lazy eye. Glass eye.
Yeah, you think so?
I'm going to say glass eye.
So as you can probably surmise, I wasn't the greatest a kid, maybe at like 13, 14, 15, coupled with the fact that I was a middle schooler playing on the varsity team on the high school side, because like I was good at basketball, so they had moved me up so much. So I was
BMOC.
Yeah, it was a humble brag.
They actually funny story. I had to go to the FHSAA to let me play varsity as an eighth grader because they didn't let
because you were so awesome. Varsity.
That's not the point. The point is it's a small school. So I remember just kind of being BMOC. I mean, like, I can do whatever I want at this school. And I quickly realized I cannot do whatever I want at this school. They have very strict rules. And it was just a tough age to be rebellious and then not people not let you be rebellious.
They go to shape kids up at Westwood. Like, parents send kids to Westwood.
That's why I asked what your bid was, because they get you right and then you move on.
But Catholic school, so Christian school operated under different rules because like Miss McCraney had a paddle up on the wall. That was just not something that you saw in the 90s and the haircut standard and all that. But Catholic school operated on a totally different moral standard too. Was that something that was present? You're a little younger, Billy, so I don't know if student discipline, was that a thing that existed?
Discipline at schools? Yeah.
Yeah. Catholic school cliche is like the rulers.
The nuns.
No, yeah. There was no.
There wasn't
no
rulers.
One was hitting with nuns. There was like a dress code and like you had to have certain haircuts.
But Billy, you guys,
like
did
that.
You guys have nuns or did you guys have brothers? Because it was Belen, it was an all boys school, right?
At Belen, we had, yeah, priests.
Right.
Yeah, and brothers, not nuns.
Right.
Like elementary school, I had nuns like teach me Spanish.
What was that? Was St. Brendan the sister school like for prom? Mm.
That was Columbus, I think. Columbus is right next to Belen.
Right
or excuse
next.
Me, to St.
So what was the sister school for Belen?
I mean Lourdes, but Lourdes is also like Columbus.
Yeah.
Too. I don't know.
Do you feel like Columbus hogged a lot of the things that Belen was supposed to have too?
In what sense?
In just every sense. I feel like everybody thinks of Columbus. Do you guys had a chip on your shoulder like about
because they
that?
Recruited in football, is that why?
And basketball and baseball?
No. I mean, I didn't feel that way.
No. Belen had a good football team, I think, by the time you were graduating,
they
right?
They played for a state title a couple of years ago, and I think, and I could be wrong, that they may have won a state title last year, but I don't know that games were being played. And
Miami got a running back, I think, from Belen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belen's a Jesuit school.
It
the
is.
Jesuits are like the fun Catholics.
How so?
Are they?
Well, she would know. We bring in Catholicism expert, Notre Dame alumnus.
Jesuits are known for kind of just being like the more with it order. The order that my Catholic school was Benedictine, and they're known for being like very strict and mean.
Huh.
And our motto was Ora e Labora, work and pray.
Don Chaney, that's the running back.
When I was going to high school, seeing someone like that built that way, going to Belen and that football school was not something that would happen.
Never. Those people would always go to Columbus. Always.
Always. Always. Columbus, always. Columbus, or they'd go up to St. Thomas Aquinas. But they would never find their way in Belen. There was a lot of little kids trying to tackle Don Chaney in high school. That was not very fair because of the district that they were in.
Yeah, Belen's like 2A. And just to give people like an idea, it goes from 1A all the way now to like 8 or 9A. 8 or 9A are your big public schools. And to play in 2A means you're playing against kids that maybe aren't the best athletically, we could say. And it's just like not fair.
I think they're 4A.
4A, okay.
Did they change districts? Because the reshuffling of districts sometimes is like a public health concern because some of these tiny Christian schools have to go up against like Chaminade and St. Thomas and Columbus, and it's not at all fair for them.
I at least when I was at Killian, we were 6A and that was the highest you could go. And I remember playing Columbus in our district regional semifinals, like to go to states, and they beat us and they were obviously in our region. And then all of a sudden So my brother is 9 years younger than I am. He also went to Killian and played basketball under the coach that I played with, right? So it's one of my really good friends. And when he got to school, they're like, yeah, we're 8A now, and we're in X, Y, and Z district, and this is our team, and we play them. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? It's completely reshuffled.
I don't know where I got that they won a football state title last year. I'm looking this up. I don't see it. I could be wrong. Maybe the website hasn't been updated.
We got really whack high school athletic stories. And Roy went to Norland, and Norland was not very good when you were there, right?
They won a state championship the year after I graduated.
Yeah, but when you were there, nothing.
They were up and coming during my senior year, but they didn't make the state, obviously. But then they won the next year. The baseball team, we weren't great. We made playoffs one time the 4 years I was there.
Well, in this theme of this hyper local hour where we're just regaling the audience with tales of our high school days, we bring in the only person to ever get a hit off of, well, the only person in the shipping container to ever get a hit off of a major league pitcher, Matt Latos, in high school, Chris Cody.
What's up?
Chris, we're talking about high school glory days, and you had the greatest high school athletic career out of anybody here, outside of Billy, who was a track and field star at Belen. Good enough to make FIU, so he competed at the big time, but you got a hit off of Matt Latos. You want to go inside the moment?
Well, it was a district playoff game, and this was my junior year where I was not yet a starter on the varsity team, and it was late in the game, and we had the tying run on second. And who did the coach call to for a late game pinch hit at bat? Junior Chris Cody. And I hit a sharp first pitch fastball because, you know, I'm a little intimidated. It's Matt Latos. He's a guy that's expected to be a big time recruit for college and stuff. So I'm like, I'm just going to try to jump on a first pitch fastball. He threw me a fastball, sharp single to right field, hit so hard that the runner on second couldn't actually even score. My skills ended up backfiring on me, but it's just, I still think about it. I can still picture the pitch coming in. Thank you for bringing it up. It makes me happy just talking about it.
Curse these skills.
Sometimes you hit a seed and it just goes right to them and it screws you. And then sometimes you barely hit it off the knob and you get a double. Like, baseball's a wacky game, guys.
I mean, did you do anything?
High school?
Yeah.
Played high school soccer and ran track and was JV basketball or B team basketball.
Were you good at any of them?
I was really good at soccer and I was really good at track.
What'd you do at track?
Long distance. I did mile, 2 mile, and 800. Mile was my best one, though. Ran a 4:34. That was my personal best.
Holy
my favorite
smokes.
Thing. Yeah, no, wow. My best. Ran 4:34, came in third in that race. Welcome to New York City.
Yeah, you should have ran in my district against Ransom Everglades. I think you would have been just fine. I mean, alas. And we do have a pretty good high school athlete here. Jessica, you were an academy product.
I played for the Chicago Fire Juniors, but I was on the women's team. So once you got to a certain age, they were like, okay, that's it. Whereas like the men, you could go to college and then potentially play for the club one day. But it was an interesting time, very competitive, until one day I was like, I kind of just want to go to college and drink. So I stopped taking it so seriously, and I had a really good time in college.
Well, wait a second. Was it you, or was it the program that stopped before you were college ready?
It was kind of like, midway through high school, was like, I don't really love soccer anymore. I don't really want to spend all of my money traveling every single weekend, because it was so competitive, and you had to leave every weekend.
Pay to play.
Yeah, and it was so expensive, and I felt like the payoff wasn't going to be that great unless I got a scholarship to a really great school.
Sounds like she got cut.
Jeez.
No, I don't think I didn't, but no. But yeah, so I kind of just like stopped playing. Like, girls' sports are kind of like, that's kind of how a lot of girls end their sports careers. You don't really get a great payoff if you keep going with it. It costs a lot of money. There's not a ton of opportunities. I was on a team of like really great players. I think our team was ranked in the top in the state when I was a senior. And of the really great players on my team, like the best anyone did was play 1 year in college and then quit. It's just there wasn't a great pipeline for it. I think it's probably gotten better now, but it just, I don't know. Didn't seem worth it to me.
So I have a question for the group. We've got a bunch of esteemed athletes in here.
Wait, I never gave you my chops.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we have an esteemed athlete in this group.
I got trucked by Jim Mandich's son in my spring football game.
Wow.
Yeah. I was playing out of position.
So it's you or the coaches?
The coaches. The
coaches.
Okay. I mean, I was running a 4.7 and had the best hands on the team. What are you sticking me a ghost for?
Yeah, that's true. Esteemed athletes looking around.
Yes, sir.
I mean, D1 athlete
that's
right here to
are.
My right. Looking right at him, right in the eyes. Billy
yeah, where Gill. Was States for you? You went to States, right? Was it Gainesville?
Where was it? I might have been in like Winter Haven or something.
Hmm.
I don't remember where I went.
Love
everyone, all the track people love going to States. Kind of like
Lakeland,
Olympic,
I think.
Olympic Village vibes.
It like
what
moved.
Was going on over there at States. Everyone was super excited to join track all of a sudden 1 year.
So who's the person that you competed against or saw in your same age bracket that you were like, oh shit, like they're really, really good. And then they ended up being somebody really, really good. Do you guys have anybody like that?
Ended up being really good?
Yeah, like somebody
at track,
you were like,
you had
holy
to have seen
shit.
Like some really good football players out there.
Oh, like in other sports. I think you meant like, no, who's my
football
rival?
Well, in a sport
rival.
That you play or in somebody that you saw
Michael
that you kind of went up with.
Is this your Brandon Knight story?
Well, no, there's a Brandon Knight story. I have a lot of them. I was just in a good district where there was a lot of people that ended up doing stuff, but it was just like, I'm always curious to see, because Bomani always does, where he's like, who's the person that you grew up with or that you knew that all of a sudden became like a pro athlete out of nowhere? And like, I've got like three or four of them.
I was
going
to ask, do you actually want us to answer? Or do you just want to say,
no, no, I was curious.
It's just him waiting till you're done.
I
was curious about if anybody had other ones. Cause I mean, I don't want to dominate the conversation.
My brother-in-law does this with people. Like, he'll talk to Dominique Foxworth, and Dominique Foxworth made it to the NFL and was a really good player, made a lot of money in that league. Mm-hmm. And he can't stop talking about the time at the Boys and Girls Club where he made Tim Hardaway's son cry.
Funny enough, that's one of the guys, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Hey,
segue back to you.
Yeah, played back at Palmetto.
After all that, I trumped your story.
Did you trump my story? Not really.
No, but I took the air out of it.
That's one of them. Yeah. I mean, I played with Lamar Miller in high school, and he was honestly the fastest person that I think I've ever seen in actual with my own eyes.
Yeah, he was.
He was lightning in a bottle.
He just got out of the NFL. I think Washington just cut him.
Yeah, but he was incredible. There was a guy that played at Alabama, played for the Cardinals. His name was Ed Stinson, played D-line. Very just not somebody that you would know, but I was across from him. If you want to Google Ed Stinson really quick, just take a peek. I was across from him on a free throw box out, okay? And I had to box him out. So he's all of 6'5", 275 pounds, D-tackle, going to Alabama from South Dade. And all of a sudden, I look across from me and I'm like, I've got to box this guy out? Holy shit.
Yeah, this is not fair.
This is not fair, one. Two, thank God the guy made the free throws. I was like, oh my God. The next time down, he hit somebody with an elbow so hard in the nose that he fractured his nose. And there was blood all over the court. And I was like, huh, good thing that that guy made that free throw. I can keep going if you want.
We found Tony's most passionate subject, high school and college sports.
I don't know if it's my most passionate, but...
Tony, are you asking about people that you played against you saw as a high schooler and ended up being stars that you knew were going to be stars, or you had no idea this person was going to be a star?
Well, no, both. If you have a story for either, it's what I was kind of pointing at. But it's the one where you know you're like, oh shit, you're lining up. Like the Brandon Knight story that Mike's talking about. I played Brandon Knight when we were like 13 in AAU and he had 42 points in the first half. And I was like, oh, nice. That guy's going to be really, really good. And then he ended up, going to Kentucky and being really, really good.
Right.
I watched my high school play against some really great athletes, but it was all in men's sports. So I can't really claim that I played against them,
But you saw them though.
Yeah,
Who were they?
Marcus Page played our high school team. Okay. I think Jabari Parker when he was in high
school. He must
have
been really, really good.
Yeah, he was. There were a bunch because we played a lot of the Chicago schools and there's a lot of good basketball players in Chicago.
I thought Jabari Parker was going to be so much better than me.
Yeah.
Well, tearing your ACL three times in the first 3 years of your career will do that to you. Mm. Also, I think he became jaded somewhere along the way because... He was supposed to be Milwaukee's savior. He was the guy that says, hey, I want to be in a Midwest small market, da-da-da, because I'm from Chicago, da-da-da. And then what happened was Giannis started getting better. And then it became very quickly apparent that Giannis is going to be the franchise guy. And I think that didn't sit well with him. And then he became really, really jaded. He started talking about defense is optional and da-da-da and just kind of petered out.
I always had a theory that Milwaukee was this sleeping giant because you could live 90 minutes away from Chicago and 90 minutes away from Milwaukee. It was always considered small market, but it's so close to Chicago that you could make an argument that it's not really a small market. You could pull off living in Chicago and playing in Milwaukee.
You could, but it is a small market in the same way that San Diego is a small market, but it's not that far from LA, especially if you take a train or something like that. For instance, the Anaheim Angels changed their name to the Los Angeles Angels. Why? Because then you capitalize on being a big market. The moment you keep the name Milwaukee, it's Milwaukee's team, and Milwaukee is unmistakably a small town. I mean, it's not a city, it's not a metropolis, and it doesn't identify itself as a suburb of Chicago. If you called them the Chicago Bucks of Milwaukee, maybe now you could start to pull some of that bigger metropolis vibe.
That would not fly in Milwaukee because it's also an adversarial relationship. Their demos are very different.
I've said this many a time. I love Milwaukee. I hate Chicago as a city. I love going to Milwaukee.
Really? I love Chicago.
You hate Chicago?
Summertime shy? Are you kidding me?
Chicago is where people from Boston aspire to grow up and move to.
You're drinking out of a Chicago water bottle.
It's an all-star water bottle. It's the NBA all-star water bottle.
Billy, is that just because you're used to doing the Zoom stuff from home? So every time you speak, you have to unmute
me. I unmuted the wrong thing. It's okay.
It happens, man.
So, who'd you see?
God Sham God.
Oh, wow.
That's a great pull.
An icon.
Right. And I say this to him every time I see him. I say, it's crazy because he was two years ahead of me. And everybody knew the sham got the move or whatever. Everybody knew he was. And I'm like, and I think about it now. And I said, there was no YouTube. There was no Instagram. There wasn't even like a WhatsApp where I could pass someone. How did I know? How did any of us know? This guy was in high school at the same time as us. But that's just the how big of a deal he was in high school. That dude was the king of New York, man.
Damn. When did you go to high school?
In the 90s.
I remember playing NBA Live on Sega Genesis and God Sham God was on.
Oh, my God. You're old.
Yeah.
Sounds like 91. Oh. I feel like you were going just 90s because it was early 90s.
You never
go 90s.
I've never played Sega Genesis in my life. I have no idea what it looks like.
What was your childhood console?
The first console I got was an N64. Then I got a PS2.
That was my fourth by then, N64.
Then I got an Xbox 360, Xbox One. I'm an Xbox guy.
Remember Duke Nukem? Yeah. It was like Doom, but with curse words.
Yeah.
Come get some. I'm here to kick ass and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum.
So you just stole that from Roddy Piper?
Or vice versa, because Duke Nukem.
No, They Live was out before Duke Nukem. Name. Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, They Live came out like early 80s.
They Live might be too good for Cinephobe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's where that line came from. I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of chewing gum.
And I'm all out of gum.
Yeah.
They Live, according to Rotten Tomatoes, 85% by the critics.
Yeah, it was awesome.
79% audience.
Take a look at the mullet Roddy Piper's rocking with in this movie. Rest in peace.
Seen him without a mullet.
Keith David.
I miss Roddy Piper so much, even though that one time he painted half of his body black when he was fighting Bad News.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to hold that against him forever?
No.
That was
the sign of the times in that federation.
That was probably written for him, you know?
Yeah, it was probably written for him.
Yeah, Roddy Piper was the man. And a great episode of It's Always Sunny. Whew. Man, Roddy Piper.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You remember the Roddy Piper episode?
Yeah, I love that, man. I love that show. I was just thinking about that show today on my way in. Oh, man, what a great show.
They're filming season 15 now.
I know. They're greenlit through season 18.
Hell yeah.
And when they announced it, Mac, who's the creator of the show, said when they pitched it originally, they pitched it as a 36-season arc. So now they're halfway through.
I love that. Man, I'm going to be a mess when Frank kicks a bucket. He's not going to make it to season 36.
Danny DeVito is not going to make it to 36.
Yeah. There's a t-shirt I saw that I got on my IG because I'm just nuts about It's Always Sunny. And it's just the title cards. And it says, and Danny DeVito is Frank Reynolds. Yeah. Oh, I cop that immediately. I don't know why this doesn't get the fanfare that like Seinfeld and Curb get.
I'm glad it doesn't, Mike, because
FX, that's why
it's our little thing.
And not only that, but it crosses the line so valiantly that if it were more mainstream, it would have been canceled.
It would have been
a long time ago.
Yeah, it would have gotten
not canceled for not getting ratings, but canceled like cancel culture.
I feel like they figured out a way to do it, man. But maybe the way that they figured out to do it was to not be too popular.
Yeah, that's the way, because it's the stuff that if you're looking at it intelligently, you're like, yeah, technically they're making fun of themselves or these characters. But the environment we live in right now is kind of zero tolerance for anything. Well, if you can't be funny without even going to that place, and maybe you're not that funny. That's kind of people's attitude now. So it's in order for it to be successful, it kind of has to be niche. The thing I always say about Always Sunny, the very first episode, they dropped the N-word.
Yeah.
Like the very first episode. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, oh my God, I'm hooked on this, because they did it again in a very funny way, but in a way that if you wanted to be lazy, you could say, white guys say the N-word. That's unacceptable. Cancel that show.
I think people have a hard time outside of like legitimate criticism, realizing that you are watching characters and you're not supposed to like every character that you watch. And I think in that way, Always Sunny and Seinfeld actually have that in common, where the crux of the show is that, like, actually, these people are terrible. Yes. And everything they do,
No one has a redeeming quality.
Right.
Not a single character on the show.
Maybe Cricket.
Not even Rickety Cricket.
Cricket?
No.
What?
Who said Cricket? Cricket at the start.
I mean, he's got a little redeeming quality in him, poor guy.
At the start, but then he just enters their atmosphere and is totally tainted. Rickety Cricket.
Rickety Cricket. Yeah.
Look at him.
I feel the same way about Sex and the City, which I'm bringing up because we talked about it last week. Because I watched that show, I'm rewatching it right now, and the characters in it are appalling to me. And so many of the things that they do, like, offend me, but I don't. They're characters in a show, and there is some larger thing happening that I'm still on board with that I'm watching for some reason. I don't even know why, but I'm not watching it because I like any of them. But I do think there are people that watch it because they're like, I want to be a Miranda. I want to be Samantha. And they kind of miss the picture, which is that there's these four very entitled upper middle class white ladies walking around Manhattan doing these absurd, ridiculous things because it's entertaining. And that's why you watch the show.
1,000%, Jessica, when that show was coming out, it wasn't I Wanna Be. I'm a Miranda. They went ham on this shit. Anything that Sarah Jessica Parker wore, guess what? It was going to blow up the next week. Everyone's going to wear it.
She has a star right now in the Seaport with like her stilettos on sale. She has her own fashion line now.
Manolo Blahnik. That's how I know what it was from that show.
If she wore it on the show, flies off the shelves.
Yep. It's kind of like Rachel in Friends. Jennifer Aniston, like whatever hairstyle she had, that instantly
so many people had the Rachel.
It's so crazy that I don't think people can understand the cultural phenomenon that these shows were at the time, when it's like literally they do something and now everyone's doing it and it's just, it comes out once a week. Yeah. It wasn't even like something that
Miami Vice
that was.
I think what I like about Always Sunny is that it takes that genre but pushed it to such an extreme where the people are so unlikable that you can't possibly want to be like any of them, but you know people like them, so you keep watching it because they have taken the joke so far that they're just disgusting and it's funny and
Dennis
it's weird.
Is, I'm pretty sure, a sexual offender.
Yeah.
He should be locked up in jail for all of his crimes.
No, Mike. It's the implication.
It's about the implication.
Nothing's gonna happen.
It's the implication.
Gonna happen.
Yes.
I mean, it's just the eye, you know, the she's Dennis on a boat. The Dennis system.
They're bringing back with the reason why I was thinking about Roddy Piper got me thinking about Birds of War, because that was the episode where they go into pro wrestling, and Charlie put on his Instagram the other day. He's dressed up as one of the Birds of War. They might be doing a callback, and now It's Always Sunny. They did this a couple of times when they did Charlie McDennis episode 2, where they dip into their own nostalgia because it's been around for so long, and I love that.
Wade Boggs.
The Wade Boggs. They just do shows for their fans at this point. You guys have been riding with us this entire way. We're going to give you like 2 episodes a season that are just a tip of the hat to the diehards.
The episode where they do a callback episode where they're remembering all the stuff, but every scene has Charlie in the background.
Yeah. Or D. Yeah.
That's how he remembers.
Where they recall D, and it's like a game of telephone. By the end of it, D just becomes an actual bird.
An ostrich. Hey, D.
I would go, God, I hope that they have like a Comic-Con of It's Always Sunny, because that show has had a fan base. Keep It Afloat as this whispered secret, and they don't get the fanfare. And I think you're right. I mean, I like that it's kind of the hipster pick when you ask someone what their favorite show is.
How would you dress to an Always Sunny Comic-Con?
I would look, man. I had the Riot t-shirt that Mac had, but I hated the way my nips looked in it. I don't have the same nips that Mac had outside of one season.
Mr. Nipple.
Yeah. It's made for that shirt. I think
I've got a jacket that's reminiscent of Charlie's military jacket. I think I'd wear that.
Oh, the Rock Flag and Eagle costume. That's a good one, Tony. Yeah, gonna go America all over their asses. Man, it's just, you think about some of the costumes and some of them are so racist. Like that time where they were selling gas and the towel gets taped to his head because there's so many episodes that never get made today.
All of them. All, even the new ones. You watch the new ones and it's still...
Yeah, there are episodes of like season 14. I'm like, there's no way this gets made today and it's a brand new episode.
By the way, speaking of rewatching, Jessica, you're rewatching Sex and the City. I'm rewatching for my podcast, Bomb, B-O-M-M, which you can get wherever you get podcasts. We're rewatching Oz.
One of the original prestige dramas that like started the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about unlikable characters that somehow people liked? People were like, yeah, I'm an Adebisi. I'm a Ryan O'Reilly. You know? It was so, if you don't know, Oz was a drama set in prison, a prison called Oswald Correctional Facility. And the way I describe Oz is, I always talk about when I was telling my dad about it years ago, I watched this show, it's called Oz, it's amazing. It's the most realistic depiction of prison. And my dad's like, no, it's probably very good, but it's not realistic. I said, no, it's pretty realistic. He said, no, I mean, trust me. It's not that realistic. I said, no, Dad, it's pretty realistic. He's like, no. I mean, there are things that happen in prison that they wouldn't show on a TV show. And I said, yeah, they show it on this show. He says, no, you don't understand. There are things in prison that aren't really talked about, but happen in prison that, you know, wouldn't translate. I said, no, it's translated. It's all on there. He said, no. How can I say this to you, my son? Sometimes when men are incarcerated for a long time, they, because they're away from women so long, they start to look at other men as women. And I say, yeah, Dad, gay prison sex, they have it. He's like, this is on television? I said, it's not TV, it's HBO.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.